Congratulations on your crowd sale right now. It appears to be going quite well.
Yeah, we're just one away from the next level.
That's awesome. Isn't it fun to watch that price go down?
It kind of, it gets, it's fun, and then it gets like, come on, just one more.
I know.
It's funny. And then, you know, you wake up the next day, and it's like, somebody bought one. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been going good. We've had mixed success. We've had a couple of campaigns that have gone really well that have raised a lot of money, and then we've had others where people think that just by running it, it's going to be successful. And it, just like a Kickstarter thing, if you mm-hmm. don't work it ahead of time and you don't build that following and you don't have people ready to buy before you launch, you know, most of the time you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get that many people who stumble in and find you and buy. It doesn't,
right.
There's too much white noise out there. So,
well, thank you for, you know, spending some of your time with me today. I was really curious because I've never heard of a crowd sale before. And so then I was like doing as much research as I could find. And of course, all I can find is about GameCrafter. So I'm like, well, these guys must be the ones who invented it. So let me talk to them and find out, like, what inspired you to structure it this way? A, and how long have you been doing it? And all of that kind of good stuff. And then how do you make it work in the background?
Well, what we kind of looked at, like, so the premise for the initial idea was we kind of looked at, like, you know, how the different crowdfunding platforms, how they work, how people are using them, and what are some of the pros and cons of using them.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically to board games and indie games, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of funding out there. There's a lot of people being funded. But now there's, like, almost 10 games per day that are launched on Kickstarter. So
wow.
Even if you take a look, like, 3 years back, there was very little competition in terms of eyeballs on Kickstarter. Like, it was, you know, there were still quite a few games out there, but nothing like there is now.
Right.
And Kickstarter, in general, is very board game heavy. There's a lot of people that go there specifically for that. And there was more money funded on Kickstarter, more projects and more money for board games last year than there was in video games, which blows my mind because
wow.
Video games have always been the, you know, the big money thing. But there's so many board games that get funded that, you know, that's just been increasing. So what we were looking at is Kickstarter, Indiegogo, those types of platforms, they're great. But they also require a ton of marketing work and
mm-hmm.
a ton of preparation. I mean, you really have to build a good campaign page. You have to get all sorts of content ready for it and figure out all of your pledge levels. And the more pledges that you offer, it's more enticing to people, right? But the complexity involved in having to manage that after the campaign can
mm-hmm.
be a total nightmare.
Right.
We did one campaign where we were supporting somebody in the community. And so they had a very simple game, and all of a sudden it got out of control. Like, people started throwing money at them, and the campaign raised $128,000.
Wow.
And this is a guy that was thinking, like, $2,000 is a lot of money. So he just kept promising people more and more things, which is
uh-huh.
okay to do, but not in a way that was, like, structured to work with our service very well. So
uh-huh.
at the end of it, he had, like, 30 or 40 different variants on this product. So that's a nightmare.
Wow, yeah.
So then we wanted to go we wanted to kind of pare that down and say most designers are never going to be in that situation. Most people just want to, say, 50 to 250 copies for their Kickstarter, and they
mm-hmm.
want to do it in a way that's very simple. So we take it in the crowd sale model that we have. They can just upload their game to our site, build it out, add some very simple marketing things to it, and then people jump on the sale. There's no complexity, really. And once the sale completes, the orders, you know, people's credit cards are charged, and then the orders just go right into our production where we fulfill them and ship them out. If there's any customer service issues, anything like that, we take care of all of it. So,
great.
That's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit of a long, wordy story, but that's kind of the premise for how we looked at crowdfunding and then how we applied it to the crowd sale system on our site.
the inspiration really came from crowdfunding. There wasn't like another company out there doing what you're doing to give you the idea that you could maybe do it this way, or because I, you know, I did
really
a Google search, and of course, there's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people that have done kind of variants on that. Like for instance, I've heard of some T-shirt companies that do something where if enough people sign on, so let's say they get 25,000 people that pre-order a T-shirt, a design of something, whether it's a sci-fi hero or something silly, then if they hit that goal, then they will, it'll, you know, it'll be made. And then if there's more people, the price of it can come down. So I've kind of like heard bits and pieces of it, but nothing where it's like specifically the more people, the cheaper it gets. I haven't seen anybody that has done that exact same thing.
So that's where I was like, okay, so how did you become a genius and go, this is how we should do it?
I have a really smart couple of partners, and I think the initial idea kind of got thrown out in terms of we need to offer some sort of a sale mechanism on the site, and then I think we kind of kept working it to where it is. But our my CEO is really sharp in terms of – that's JT, but my CEO is really sharp in terms of trying to really boil down an idea so that it's like very black and white without a lot of extra – you know, junk or attachments to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was pretty good at kind of boiling it down to the core. And then we just kind of, we let the community always give feedback because they're the ones that are using it and they're our direct customers. And so mm-hmm. they usually can kind of collectively patch the idea into something that works for most people in the site. So it's a team effort.
I love the model. I think it's genius. And I'm just amazed that nobody else is doing it like this. I'm just, you know, as a marketer who has been in marketing for 30 plus years, like, mm-hmm. seriously, nobody else is doing this? This is amazing. Like, why yeah. not? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the basic incentive is there, right? Tell your friends, we'll all save money.
Exactly.
Like, who doesn't like that?
I know. And so then I'm wondering, well, there must be some kind of barrier to entry maybe that is keeping people from doing something like this. So when you decided that this was what you wanted to offer, how did you go about trying to make it happen?
We are at heart a software company.
Mm-hmm.
We started out before the Game Crafter was even around. We started out, our core business was making content management software, which is just software that helps you run a website.
Right.
And so, and all the U.S. Embassy websites around the world use our software. So, like, we're really knowledgeable in that web development area.
Mm-hmm.
So, JT and his group of developers kind of get together, and then they, you know, build out that software. So we took a look at the problem, said, okay, we want this crowdfunding thing. And then they basically build it and develop it and add it to our site. So we're really lucky to have in-house developers that can, like, take an idea and then make it into a, you know, an actual application.
Well, you know, I mean, not that you probably haven't already thought of this, but it's an asset that you could repackage and sell to other companies.
Absolutely, if we had the time. that's currently the issue. We don't have a lot of bandwidth for other projects, but yeah, it certainly is. I mean, it's something that if we could repackage it so that it's easy to deploy on other people's sites, yeah, it could totally, you know, be useful.
Especially
for
WordPress.
Other people.
Yeah. Well, put that on your list of things to do, okay? Because I
yeah,
want
no
one.
Problem.
Whatever it is,
no
you know, I want that plugin. I want to be able to use that. Well, I noticed, too, that, like, when I was buying copies of the deck for myself when I was testing, that I could use PayPal, but then for the crowdfunding thing, you can't. So I was wondering if there was some kind of mechanism that discluded that, or was it against the rules of PayPal? Or
The way that it works is, on the back end of that particular app, it uses a payment service or API called Stripe.
Mm-hmm.
And Stripe is used by companies like Facebook and basically all of the latest and greatest like web properties and social media networks all use Stripe.
Mm-hmm.
It has this API, which is like a you know, basically a way for developers to kind of tie in and make really cool apps and plugins and all that sort of thing. And that allows us to do the crowdfunding sale. So they don't accept PayPal, at least, because that's kind of, I think they're competitors
at
heart.
Yeah, competitors, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that that's the fundamental reason why you can't use PayPal for that.
Gotcha. Well, what else? I mean, you get to see behind the scenes. What would be like your top don't do this kind of thing that you see people doing wrong?
In terms of using our site or specific to the crowd sale?
Specific to the crowd sale.
I think a lot of the same rules apply. I created a video, and I can email you this link if you want. It talks about like the 7 things to ask yourself before you crowdfund a board game, because we work with like 60 to 70. We have worked with 60 to 70 different campaigns in the last like 2 years, and they've raised over, I think it's $600,000 or $700,000 now, and we fulfilled those orders and all that. But the thing about it is a lot of people just think that putting the product on Kickstarter or in a crowd sale or whatever is going to get you, people are just going to flock in and support you, and that's like couldn't be further from the truth. The number one thing I keep telling people is if you don't have people that are ready to buy it right now, like lined up, interested, they've seen it at a game convention, they've seen it at a local game store or whatever, like nobody is going to care about your product or know what it is, or you know, it's not going to be a good thing. Like, for instance, even your crowd sale, I imagine that you have been plugging this pretty good and that you've been sending it out to all your followers, and these are people that have been following you for a while that you've built a relationship with, and so when you have an opportunity to buy something from you, they're probably, you know, they have a much higher interest level in that product than if you were just, like, one time sending out an email blast to people that didn't really know you. You know, so that's probably the biggest don't. You have to have an established network before any of those mechanisms work.
Yeah. It is a lot more work than you think it's going to be, for sure. I mean, I can't even tell you how many different ways I've been trying to talk about it on social media without sounding repetitive, but, you know, and then encouraging people to also share. Even if they don't want to buy one, like, you must know somebody that wants something like this, you know. Do people ever do, like, more than one for the same product, or do you have rules about that?
We haven't had anybody do a repeat yet. It's a fairly new system. It's possible, I suppose, that could happen. But no, we haven't had anybody do it yet. And in general, it's been very hot and cold. I mean, we've had where we've raised a lot of money, and then we've had some that have had, I think there's been one or two that have done absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, our site has 3,500 games for sale on it, and that number's always growing. How can you, you know, you just can't expect to put it up and have people automatically buy it. The other things that, like, for do's and don'ts, in a situation like this where it's a crowd sale, you don't want to have, like, a 15-minute product overview video. You want something that's, like, designed to be very informative, very quick. If you are going to go into, like, kind of a demo of how the game plays or what more into the product details, that's fine. I mean, you can do that, but make sure in the first minute, 30 seconds to minute, maybe minute and a half, make sure that you have given them a full understanding of the product, and you've either pulled them in or, like, showed them something cool about it so they understand the product and that builds interest. Because I've seen some where people will put, like, kind of like a just a general kind of an overview video, but it's so slow, it's like I don't even watch, you know, half of it, because it's like this kind of, it builds up and it's supposed to be thematic, and I'm like, no, I'm here at the sale. Tell me immediately what the details of the product are, why I like it, why I should care, or I'm gone. And so that's kind of, I think that fits the model of the social media in general. I think you have to grab that interest initially, and if you don't, they're going to move on to the next sale or the next, you know, the next game.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because for me, you know, I have been talking about this with my crowd for at least 3 or 4 months now. You know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm testing it. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. I can't wait to buy one, you know. And so then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, this will be a piece of cake to get to 100, you know.
Right.
Super easy. But it hasn't been. And part of me is like, it's because I rushed my video. It's because I didn't take more time with it. But I wanted it to be, because people kept asking me, when can I buy it? When can I buy it? I was like, well, shoot, maybe I shouldn't hold off anymore. You know, I should go ahead and do that.
I think the video, yeah, but I think the video is more for the walk-up traffic. I feel like the people that you have been prepping, I follow a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a big social media visionary guy, and he's really changed my perspective in terms of, like, social media. It used to be that, like, you only use social media to, like, push out, like, sales stuff, and, you know, basically it's, like, all types of just, like, announcing what you have, right? But now I'm very much more into engagement. Like, people want to get to know the brands that they like. They want to have the banter back and forth. They want to be able to ask questions and share photos and comment on them. So that's really like what we've been doing. So your community, it already sounds like you're doing that, and that's fantastic, right? And you're doing it over time, and you're doing things that aren't always sale related. Because if you're constantly hitting them with a pitch, they're going to start tuning you out. But if you're really providing value to their life and, you know, to that social media connection, then they love to follow you, right? They just enjoy the relationship. So it sounds like you've been doing a great job with that. Now you may just have to follow up, you know, with more, you know, whether it's an email blitz or something. But then you always have the situation where people love to say they'll buy something from you, and then when it comes time to do it, they may be out of money, they may be out of time. You know, we have that same thing too. You know, we get 1,000 yeses, we'll buy this, and then we'll get about 300, 500 that actually do.
Right. So. Well, and I'm wondering too, like, shoot, I just had a really good question I was going to ask you. I hate being old.
No worries.
I'll probably follow up with an email once I hang up. I'll remember what it was I wanted to ask you. Is it okay if I use a portion of this as like an embed on my blog post when I talk about this?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Sure. I think it would be fun for people to hear, you know, about, because I asked all my colleagues, you know, I'm in marketing, so I have a lot of marketing colleagues and people who are in website productions and things like that, and nobody has ever heard of crowd sale. So it's like, how can this possibly be? We never have something new. Like, the only, you know what I mean, in terms of a business model, right, there's been pay what you can or pay what you want or group sales, of course, is a very old one, but this is a different kind of group sale in that you're kind of crowdsourcing the group, and that's been interesting to me to see how that works, like even within my own realm, you know, and doing PR and reaching out to people who might be influencers who could talk about it or put it on their blog. And I don't,
yeah,
like, I totally don't think
first...
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I didn't really give myself enough lead time to do the PR properly, but at some point I would love to do a much better job of the marketing and see how well it goes, you know.
Just well, I think you're doing better than you think. I mean, it just depends, I guess, on what your audience size is and what you know, projected and all that. But we've had a lot of people that have only done 5, 10, 20 units. And when we first launched the idea, it was picked up by Wired and a bunch of other sites, and we were really excited about it. And I think my JT, our CEO and business partner, he thought it would be kind of a bigger deal to people. But some of the first initial ones we launched, I don't think people really thought it was as profound or as cool of an idea as we did, which is kind of a bummer because you never know when you launch new things how it's going to be accepted. and we've heard tons of positive feedback about it, but we haven't had like these massive sales, you know, where we haven't had many of them where they're just like mind-blowingly big and you're like, so, you know, everybody's excited about it. It's just kind of one of those things where people just kind of think it's just another sale. And it's kind of discouraging sometimes because you're like, all this work went into this and we thought it was going to be this revolutionary thing, and then people just kind of look at it as yet another sale or crowdfunding thing. So
it's interesting to me that I've had a couple people say to me that they were going to wait and see how deep the discount went before they actually bought.
Right.
It's like, I know. Okay, you're totally missing the point here. So I'm wondering if you've had any of that feedback.
Yeah, that is a natural thing, and we don't understand it. It's against the whole premise of the sale. You have to participate in order for that number to go down. If you wait and there's 100 people that wait, that number may never happen, but it would have happened if you all signed on, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's completely backwards. The thing about the sale is that they're not even charged when they do the initial purchase. Like when they say, yes, I'm on board with this, there's no money that there's no money that's changing
not
hands.
Charged yet.
It's
I
just,
know.
Right. It's just like Kickstarter in the fact that through Stripe, the payment processor, it only gets billed at the end of it. So, it's just mind-blowing. I don't know how to communicate that better to people. I think it's just ingrained into their brain.
Like how the world works kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait and see how good the discount gets. It's like you're not buying airfare. You're not, you know, you're not waiting it out. There's no benefit. If you're interested in the product, join on it. And the opposite's true. If you get to the end and it's not at a price point where you're happy, you can just bail. I mean,
can. That's true. I should probably tell people about that part.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good piece of content for you to say in a follow-up somewhere. Like, hey, I've heard some of you are waiting to find out what the best deal is. Understand that by doing this, you're hindering the best deal. If you join and you don't get the number, you know, the price that you want at the end of the campaign or towards the end of the campaign, then you can totally pull out and, you know, you won't be charged.
Good. Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, I think what's interesting is that, you know, or what's true in this world is that there's no marketing magic bullet, so it really isn't the structure that's going to make or break your success. It's the structure can help facilitate it a little bit, but you have to still do all of the groundwork ahead of time, which, you know, I think maybe like you're saying, people think, well, I just put it up there and then automatically, magically happens, you know.
Yeah, and there was a time, you know, early adopters that jumped on crowdfunding things, there was a time where you could actually get away with that because there was just so few people putting board games out on Kickstarter, and, you know, it would be like, oh, when I go to board games, there's 30 in the category. Okay,
right.
Well, that's, you know, you're pretty good chances somebody's going to stumble upon what you have. And back then, I remember the artwork wasn't finalized. It was very early into kind of the development of the game, whereas now people expect the games to be much further along, almost ready for production. Maybe they need a little bit of money for final art or something, but the product is, you know, the platform has matured as such, and so now people are expecting a higher quality product, but they're also, you know, the bar is being raised on the presentation of the page. So if you're not spending enough time designing an awesome video and an awesome, you know, pledge graphics and, you know, all the different marketing images and assets on the page, and it looks out of place, that's going to turn people off.
Yeah.
So, like, it's constantly kind of being raised.
Well, thank you, Tavis, for your time. I'm going to try and dig up that Wired article and see, you know, if I can learn anything else. But or that video that you said you'd send me, that'd be awesome. And when I have a blog post up, I'll send you the link so you can see what I said. I'm interested in wondering how the crowd sale model would work, like with a service or to fill a workshop or, you know, like thinking about all these different ways I could use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think there's probably potential for it to be used in other places. I don't know how much legwork would be involved in actually building like a standalone app. But
well, I'm telling you have the structure there.
Mm-hmm.
You could sell it.
Yeah, possibility for sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can wrap up.
Sounds great.
Done. Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.